Reading from the book of Revelation. The Holy One, the true, who wields David's key, who opens and no one can close, who closes and no one can open, has this to say: I know your deeds. That is why I have left an open door before you, which no one can close. I know that your strength is limited, yet you have held fast to my word and have not denied my name. Because you have kept my plea to stand fast, I will keep you safe in the time of trial, which is coming on the whole world, to test all men on earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast to what you have lost, someone rob you of your crown. I will make the victor a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall never leave it. I will inscribe on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which he will send down from heaven, and my own name, which is new. Verbum Domini.
Thank you. Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is no shepherd nor owner of the sheep, catches sight of the wolf coming and runs away, leaving the sheep to be snatched and scattered by the wolf. That is because he works for pay. He has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, in the same way that the Father knows me, and I know the Father. For these sheep I will give my life. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must lead them too, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one flock then, one shepherd. Verbum Domini. Welcome this morning, Father Greg and Father Larry from the Archdiocese of Cincinnati and all the pilgrims that have joined them. Welcome. It's good to have you here this morning. We celebrate today on the Church's universal calendar. It's a memorial of St. Fidelis of Singmaringen. On the Franciscan calendar, it's a feast day. That's why we just chanted the Gloria at the beginning of today's Mass. But St. Fidelis was born in the late 16th century in southern Germany. He was born and was baptized with the name Mark. His name was Mark Ray. And after his studies, he received doctorates in law and in philosophy, and he eventually entered the legal profession and became a lawyer. He was known to be an advocate for the poor, and he was also renowned for being quite respectful toward his opponents. But over time, he made the decision to leave that, to give up that career, as he became disappointed and even disgusted by the many moral compromises and the corruption that he witnessed, that he encountered around him. He then decided to think and pray more deeply about his vocation. What was it that God was calling him to? And after reading a book on the consecrated life and also being influenced by the example of his own biological brother who entered the Capuchins, he decided to pursue a vocation with the Capuchin Franciscans, and he was about 34 years old at the time. And he wholeheartedly embraced the call to prayer and simplicity of life that the Capuchins had lived. And he received the habit and the new religious name of Fidelis, which means the faithful one. And when he received the name Fidelis, his religious superior quoted to him words from the second chapter of the book of Revelation, which say, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And as we'll see, he did live up to that call. He did remain faithful to death. Now, a frequent prayer of his during his religious life was that he might be preserved from sloth and lukewarmness in the spiritual life. And he would say to himself, woe to me if I should prove myself a half-hearted soldier in the service of my thorn-crowned captain. He did not want to be lukewarm. He wanted to live wholeheartedly for Christ. And I think it's helpful for us to know of the trials and the struggles of the saints, that their lives are not unattainable. By God's grace, we can live heroically virtuous lives. But it's also very helpful for us to see when we learn about their difficulties and trials, we know that, again, they persevered through it, and we see how they persevered through it. I'm reminded of the words of St. Bernadette, which I find very inspiring, when she said, I would like to know the defects of the saints and what they did to correct these defects. That would help us much more than hearing about their miracles and their ecstasies. Again, they're just like you and I, the saints, and they cooperated with God's grace. And it's noted that one of the temptations that Fidelis had to struggle with early on in his religious life, and he was only a religious for 10 years. He was only a Capuchin for about 10 years before he was martyred. But one of the trials that he dealt with was a thought of despair based on his previous life. that he thought he had wasted 34 years. There was 34 lost years of his life. And I think that can be a common temptation. We can get caught up in our past and despairing or getting very discouraged about how we lived before. Either we came to the faith or came back to the faith, or maybe if we never left the church, but we just wasted the time, right? Living, seeking our own selfish interests. But here we see a saint who had a similar temptation. You can think of St. Paul's words in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 10, 13. He says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." Again, that's why it's helpful for us to know about the lives of the saints, because they went through the same temptations, the same struggles, the same trials that we encounter, that we go through. And maybe, again, we have had a similar temptation, beating ourselves up about the past or getting discouraged about our past. Again, here we have a saint who is tempted similarly, and rather than to fall into despair, which he could have done, or he could have just given up on the religious life or on the spiritual life, rather he repented of his sins, he turned back to the Lord wholeheartedly, and he sought to live the time that he had, however much time that God was giving him, he wanted to live it to the full, to live his faith to the full, to zealously live his faith. St. Fidelis also made known to another friar that he constantly prayed for two favors. One, that he might never fall into mortal sin. That's a great prayer, a very good prayer for us to pray. That's the worst thing that could happen to us, worse than any physical danger or harm, that we be separated from God by committing mortal sin. And two, his second favor that he constantly prayed for was that he might die for the faith. That's a very bold request. Similarly, St. Maximian Kolbe, his very second Mass after he was ordained, he offered Mass at the tomb of St. Peter, our first pope, and his intention was for the grace of apostolate, so the work they did, but also the intention was for the grace of martyrdom for him and his confreres. Again, it's a very bold prayer, but we see that was motivated by their love for Christ, to give all, to lay down their lives, ultimately to help lead others to heaven. So these saints wanted to imitate their Lord to the very end. Now, Fidelis was also a priest, and at one point he was appointed by the Congregation of the Propagation of the Faith to go to Switzerland to preach and teach the Catholic faith. And the goal was both to strengthen the faith of the Catholics that were there, but also, this is right after, during the time of the Protestant Reformation, and to bring back those who had strayed from the faith, those who had left the practice of the faith, those who had left from full communion with the Catholic Church. So we heard, again, the readings we heard are specifically, they're proper to this feast of St. Fidelis. The gospel is one we were very familiar with because the last several days we've been hearing from John 10 on the Good Shepherd. But specifically for St. Fidelis, the gospel chosen is also Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And at the very end of the passage that we heard, our Lord said, "There shall be one flock, one shepherd," right? He founded one church. And this is what St. Fidelis was sent by the church to preach the faith, to draw all back into full communion with the one church that Christ had founded. So we see that our Lord desires unity in his church. And St. Fidelis' efforts were very fruitful. People were coming back to the practice of the Catholic faith. And so while there was much fruit, that also stirred up a lot of anger and hatred by some who were hard-hearted and did not want what he was preaching. So it stirred up animosity. On one occasion, he was shot at while he was preaching, but the bullet missed him. But the fear of death did not stop him from proclaiming the truth in love. Again, he had a burning desire and zeal to help lead others to heaven. That's what was motivating him, even if it was dangerous to do so. And on April 24th, he was surrounded by a group of soldiers with swords, and they demanded that he renounce his Catholic faith and embrace their faith. His reply was that he came to refute error, not to embrace error. He came rather to help them to return to the Catholic faith. And then he said, "The Catholic religion is the faith of all ages, and I do not fear death." And after saying that, they rushed upon him, and they killed him with their swords. But they didn't kill him before he uttered one final prayer. And this is, we see this in the lives of some other martyrs too, and it was a prayer for them, for that God might forgive them for their conversion. St. Fidelis said, "Pardon my enemies, O Lord. Blinded by passion, they know not what they do. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Mary, Mother of God, assist me." Those were his last words. That was his last prayer. And the martyrdom of St. Fidelis, like we know, the martyrdom of many of the martyrs had a profound impact on many people, strengthened the faith of a lot of Catholics, but also led to conversion of others. We see an immediate fruit because one of those who participated in his martyrdom was a minister, and he later repented and returned to the practice of the Catholic faith. And as our first reading from the book of Revelation mentioned, there was an open door. The Lord talks about an open door. There was an open door for Fidelis to go and continue preaching and teaching the gospel in the Catholic faith. And he remained steadfast. He did not deny his faith, even when his life was threatened. Now, a few days before he died, St. Fidelis had said in one of his talks, and he's addressing the Catholic faith. He says, "Catholic faith, how stable, how firm you are, how well-rooted, how well-founded on a strong rock. Heaven and earth will pass away, but you can never perish. From the beginning, the whole world has spoken against you, but you have triumphed mightily over all." And then he said, "For this is the victory which overcomes the world, our faith." Something to be very grateful about, the gift of our faith that's been handed down by Christ and the apostles down through the ages. And St. Fidelis, we know, lived up to the meaning of his religious name, Fidelis, the faithful one. He remained faithful to death. He remained faithful to Christ, to the gospel, and to the church, even into martyrdom. So we ask his prayers today that we might have a share in his zeal and in his love, his charity, to help lead others to the Lord and to heaven, despite any obstacles that might present themselves.